Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is
Stand
on the
by.
Air. Brain massage is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The pot just seems to be continually simmering and never coming to a boil. Earlier this week, I put out a one-minute massage celebrating the anticipated release of Meriem Ibrahim from her prison in Sudan. With you, I was saddened when on the very day they were actually released, Meriem, her husband, and her two children were taken into custody at the airport again, now being held, according to one report, as a national security threat, and then another said that it was something to do with their travel papers not being in order. Today, I learned the charge was that her travel documents were forged, which is a lie, of course, but she and her family were released again, only they had to promise not to leave Sudan. The family has taken refuge in the U.S. Embassy, so we'll see where this goes next. What is it with these crazy people? Islamic Sharia law prohibits anyone leaving the Muslim faith. Yeah, that's what this is all about. You see, it's against the law over there to convert from Islam. Imagine that. Like being a member of some gang, you know, where the only way out is a casket. These Sudanese Muslim monsters imprisoned this pregnant lady and sentenced her to death because she refused to recant her Christian faith. And because she married a Christian, her marriage to U.S. citizen Daniel was ruled invalid by them. So they proceeded to add to the charge of apostasy the charge of adultery, which added to her death sentence the sentence of 100 lashes. Can you believe this? Because Allah is great and merciful, the sentence was not to be carried out until after her baby was born. She was forced to give birth to her baby in prison. You know, I'd call your attention to how the Western press seems to be addressing this issue. You will notice now, somewhere in the report, they will explain that Meriem was born to a Muslim father, but raised by her Christian mother, as if that is some kind of a point. I mean, it's almost as if the problem here was that it's unfair to judge her for converting from Islam, because after all, she was brought up by her Christian mother and not by her Muslim father, so she really didn't convert to it, you know. My point is that it is irrelevant whether she was brought up Muslim or Christian. She has the inalienable right to believe according to the dictates of her own conscience. The spirit of the days of the Inquisition always lurk about somewhere in the weeds looking for an opportunity to reassert itself. You know, like the Catholics who for so many centuries murdered millions of Baptist Christians, and like many of her children, the good reformers, you know, like John Calvin, who consented to the murder of Baptist Christians, once putting a group of Baptist men, women, and children on a barge and set them adrift at sea to starve. You know, or like Luther, that good Lutheran fella, you know, who advised his followers to, quote, mow them down, slaughter and stab them, end quote. Which has got to be, in anybody's estimation, every bit as bizarre as what we read so often repeated in the Quran. Very interesting. Folks, only apostates murder apostates. Only the very weakest and most pathetic religions attempt to hold their adherents by force or manipulation. And now only somewhat related, Southern Baptist Convention leaders decide for amnesty against the wishes of the vast majority of the members of that organization. I guess it's like not all Israel or Israel, a Bible reference there. I guess we have to say not all Baptists are Baptists. No one decides policy for all Baptists. What's that about? Now, you're hooked up to a religious organization where there is a hierarchy that speaks for everyone in that group. You're not Baptist in the traditional sense of the meaning of that label. Denominationalism is alive and ill. And the Presbyterians have decided to rebuke Israel for their, quote, occupation of the West Bank, end quote. What? So, yeah, the Presbyterians now, who have recently redefined marriage, have decided they're not going to do business with American companies who themselves do business in or with the West Bank. And because of those rascally Israelites, you know, who simply want a buffer between them and those and that crowd that keeps firing missiles at them. Anyway, those denominational Christians, I don't get you. Jesus Christ is head of the church. His word is the only absolute rule for faith and practice. Forgot about all that? Believers really ought not to align themselves with denominations that presume to place men over multiple churches making policy decisions for the entire denomination. It's a bunch of Catholic hierarchical nonsense. I'll stay with my independent, autonomous model. Thank you very much. By the way, I'm simply making the point that neither the Southern Baptist Convention nor the Presbyterians speak for this independent Baptist, okay? I'm way too American for that kind of nonsense, oh yeah. And thank God I don't have to hide with my family in an embassy for protection from being harassed and persecuted for what I believe in. Or do I? Let's see. Do I have reason to fear that my own government might use its vast power to attack me for my beliefs? Lois lost her emails. Specifically, the ones that include any reference to her collusion with the other nefarious persons to use the IRS, a government agency, to harass and attack conservatives, particularly those opposing the Obama administration. Of course, the ones that she lost were those she wrote during the time we know she was targeting conservatives for special harassment by the IRS because of what they believe. Her hard drive on her personal computer crashed and was trashed. But we know that email correspondence is not, well, not usually kept on a local hard drive. It's kept on a server. Oh, yeah, but they've got an answer for that one, too. The IRS contract with the company responsible for maintaining backups of email correspondence expired right about at the time in question. When we say it expired, what we mean is that the IRS refused to continue their contract with that company, or in other words, fired them. And conveniently, by the way, did not hire another to take their place, or if they did, they didn't have the data held by the older company transfer it to the newer provider, or to themselves in any backup or anything. And oops, oh well, this happened a few weeks after Lois was subpoenaed to appear and testify, and oh, how coincidental this all created sufficient delay so that the tapes now, which by according to the company are purged every 6 months, are no longer available. Well, isn't that something? Do you believe this? Gotta hand it to Trey Gowdy. It's good to have someone in that sewer called Washington who can shine some light of reason and truth in that dark place. He grilled the IRS boss over the loss of these emails and made the very good point that legally, a jury is instructed to consider the destruction or even the alleged loss of evidence negatively. Or at least that they're free to. Or in other words, if a taxpayer comes off with a story about, you know, important records being lost, you know, the dog ate it, that kind of thing, this is usually considered a presumptive evasion, and the jury may view it as evidence against them. So if the IRS comes off with a story about losing records important to a case against it, shouldn't that be taken as evidence against them? In other words, the IRS losing these emails, the specific emails that are of particular concern to this case, should be taken as itself evidence that they are hiding something. At least reasonable people would assume that. No reasonable person could look at this and not strongly suspect that the IRS is covering something up and it must be huge because it's so obvious. Aren't you just getting sick of the corruption in our government? One IT expert said there is only one way all of these circumstances could come together just right to get rid of these probably damning emails, and that is if the IRS has the worst management and the most inept IT department in the entire world today. I know, that is believable. Thank you, Jim. But think about this. Anyone who knows anything about bureaucracy knows the first rule is cover your own derriere, right? And here you have top-level bureaucrats exposing theirs in a major way. I mean, mooning us, really. I mean, folks, that just doesn't happen without protection from the top. There is a rule of reasonable doubt, right? We all understand that. But any doubt raised against cries of foul play in this case are really unreasonable. There is no reasonable doubt about it. Any normally intelligent person can see what is obvious. And that's what is particularly troubling to me. I mean, this is so in your face. It's such an insult to the intelligence of every reasonable mind, and they know it. And it's so obvious. I mean, I mean the Obama administration, arrogantly dismisses the Constitution, the rule of law. Even we the people are held in contempt by the Obama administration. I mean, look at this Benghazi thing. I've run out of time in the first segment. But the Lord is merciful because one email survived. It's an email that shows Lois Lerner colluding with another to attack a Republican senator with trumped up charges over a mistaken invitation to some event. Everyone looking at this email sees the same thing. It shows that Lois Lerner was involved in targeting political enemies. I'll be right back.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Like Paul Revere's lantern lighter, Pastor Scheidbach is lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, alerting all Americans that the commies are coming. The commies are coming! Help us spread the message. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or write us at P.O. Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
It's important to be able to compromise self-interest to serve a higher good. But compromising truth only serves evil. For example, instead of obeying the Lord and coming out of an apostate church, you compromise, and your compromise is killing the church and this nation. Join an Old Path Church. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Calling all Lights On listeners to the Brain Massage Show. Keep the lights on. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to P.O. Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The pot just simmers and simmers and never seems to come to a boil. How much of this can the American people put up with? Boehner now is planning to sue Obama for abuse of presidential power. How bad must it be if Boehner is troubled by it? Think about it. The constant frustration we experience as we attempt to get at the truth on about anything. And we're repeatedly stonewalled by this administration. Yet the pot just simmers and simmers. We are barred from the truth about Benghazi. We still don't know why our ambassador was in Benghazi. We can't even get a straight answer about why we continued to have a consulate in that city. We can't get a straight answer about why we did not respond to our ambassador's earlier request for increased security or to appeals for help when they came in. The whole thing smells like a plot to purposely set up our ambassador to be executed. Could that possibly be what's going on here? Hillary knows. She knew from the beginning that it had nothing to do with that YouTube movie. Look, we've got a report of a phone conversation that allegedly took place between Hillary and her boss, Obama, during the Benghazi attack, in which she told her husband, Billy, that she was stunned when she learned that the White House was going to go with the movie Made Him Do It story. After Hillary spoke to Obama, according to this, she called Bill and said, quote, I'm sick about it, end quote. By the way, this is told in a book titled Blood Feud. And according to this book, this phone conversation was reported by, quote, the legal advisor who was filled in on the conversation, end quote. So here's how the conversation supposedly went down. Quote, that story won't hold up, Bill said. I know, Hillary said. I told the president that. It's an impossible story, Bill said. I can't believe the president is claiming it wasn't terrorism. Then again, maybe I can. It looks like Obama isn't going to allow anyone to say that terrorism has occurred on his watch, end quote. So did this conversation really happen? I think it probably did. But it's being leaked now by the Clintons for political gain in order to give her some wiggle room, some cover from the scandal of Benghazi as she prepares to make her own run at the White House. However, it was Hillary's decision to order U.S. forces to stand down, or was it? You know, they might have otherwise been able to stop the attack or at least intervene sufficiently to save American lives. You know, but that might also have come from Obama. I mean, we know that we had foreign emergency support teams on the ground with U.S. special forces, you know, the types that Obama now is sending into Iraq to help the Iraqis fend off the terrorists attacking them right now. And these forces could have gotten there quickly, perhaps in time to have saved our ambassador and the three other Americans murdered in that terrorist assault on our consulate in Benghazi. But Hillary would not allow them to leave. And this we get from Timmerman, the author of Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi. Now, Timmerman wants to keep this tethered tightly to Hillary's neck. And no doubt, Hillary is complicit, obviously, even if the phone call thing is true. She went along with this. But think about something. Hillary really didn't have any reason or motive to refuse assistance to the ambassador. She's a savvy politician, even if she is somewhat sadistic in her political instincts for destroying opponents. She might even be throwing Obama under the bus here. She is not stupid, and she knew this was going to blow back on her. So, no, I believe if Hillary had been given an option to send assistance to Stevens, I think she would have been inclined to do it. Unless she wanted Christopher Stevens dead for some reason. And I mean, you know, there's a long list of folks dying around the Clintons. I don't want to go there right now. Unless this whole thing really does go sideways, I mean way sideways, into something very dark indeed. I don't see Hillary having any motivation in that direction, but Obama does. And he is the commander-in-chief, and he would have been the one ultimately responsible for the decision to send support. Obama could have and should have made the call to send in the troops, but he was busy doing something during the attack that must be really top secret because we can't get to it. He was MIA for something like, what was that, 10 hours or so, 12 hours of unaccounted for time during the Benghazi attack from, 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. the next morning. And no one knows where the president was or what he was doing during that time. Only an utter fool would believe that. Of course, certainly he knows what he was doing. So why don't we know? But the American people seem to just quietly simmer. Where's the boil over of outrage about this constant obstructionist behavior on the part of our commander-in-chief, on the part of our president, keeping us from the truth? When will this pot boil? And when it does finally come to a boil, what is that going to look like? Remember, Obama placed a gag order on those under his command as commander-in-chief, forbidding them to speak about Benghazi to anyone. Now, if that is not a direct effort to obstruct justice, to keep us from getting at the truth, what is? Assuming for the moment that the Clintons are too smart to make up a story about a phone conversation between Hillary and Obama, with Hillary and Bill alleging that Obama is the one who came up with this order to blame the attack on a YouTube movie, and it put it on her to do that, and that she was distressed by this, well, can we hope then that Gowdy will subpoena her to testify whether this conversation really occurred? And if not, will he also subpoena the author of Blood Feud, where the story is told, to testify regarding his allegations that Clinton, in fact, related this story to his count? I mean, will all this finally get out, and will the pot ever boil? What is it going to take to bring the pot to boil? And when it does begin to boil, what is that going to look like? Obama's plan is to keep it at a simmer. Then you got this IRS thing. Why can't we get to the truth? Does anyone really believe the IRS just lost these emails that happen to be critical to an ongoing investigation into the actions of one of their employees? Come on! Really? Simmer, 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 no boil. Anyway, one representative has offered $1 million to anyone who can retrieve the lost emails. Let's see if that produces anything. Holder refuses to appoint an independent prosecutor to look in on any of this. Now, some are calling for Holder to be impeached. The man will simply not do his job. I mean, there's a serious allegation of criminal behavior here with evidence that any grand jury would regard as sufficient to warrant an indictment, but Holder will not take any action, even though he's been called upon to do so over and over. He won't, because Obama, his boss, has said there's nothing to it. It's only a witch hunt by Republicans. That's all he has to say. And as if with a magic wand, he brushes aside all the incriminating evidence and once again uses the power of his office to obstruct justice. What is it going to take to get this pot to boil? Meanwhile, Sheriff Joe is continuing to pursue the forger of Obama's birth certificate. And Holder is pursuing Sheriff Joe with every resource of his office. Hey, that's interesting, isn't it? Holder is so busy trying to build up a case against the Sheriff Joe in Arizona, who is investigating his buddy's fraudulent birth certificate, that he doesn't have time to go after Lois Lerner and the IRS hit team targeting conservatives for harassment. Think about this. When will the pot begin to boil? Finally, take a look at the McDaniels thing. Wow. The government in Mississippi is the number one rated for corruption in the nation. Do you know that? The Tea Party, disgusted with all this, put their support behind a Republican candidate for Senate to get out that six-term vile GOP rhino, Thad Cochran. They vilified the establishment now, the establishment Republicans. They vilified the Tea Party. Now, they're afraid of the Tea Party. You see, the Tea Party represents grassroots majority in this country. But they refuse to admit that. They're holding on to power. They're not going to let it go. They vilified the Tea Party, attempted to make it look like the Tea Party candidate was racist, using smear tactics and outrageous, outright lies with a flyer that was circulated and possibly even funded by the GOP establishment. And your GOP establishment was neck deep in it. Make no mistake about that. They recruited something like, 25,000 Democrats to vote in that primary and who cast their vote for Thad. Now, if you ever wondered whether the GOP is actually nothing more than an arm of the Democratic Party, you need look no further than, here in California, where they constantly put their support behind Democrats disguised as Republicans, or look at Mississippi and what went on there with the McDaniels race. Imagine the Republican Party turning to Democrats to help them defeat a conservative candidate in a Republican primary. Well, McDaniel's not going to go away quietly. There is reason to suspect that many of the 25 to 35,000 Democrats who voted in that Republican primary in Mississippi also voted in the Democratic primary in that state, and that's against the law, if anybody cares anymore. In Mississippi, it happens that either party can vote in either primary, but you only get to vote once. And yet the pot just simmers. Have you ever watched a pot on a fire waiting for it to boil? That's what this feels like. Our leaders have abandoned all pretense to honesty. They blatantly flaunt their disregard for law, for decency, and for the American people. And yet the pot just simmers. But one day, this pot will boil. Well, let's hope it happens while we still have access to the principle of ballot box revolution. When will the pot boil? Well, here's a thought. Ask yourself, what would liberals do if a conservative president was involved in any one of the following scandals? Fast and Furious, where the government gave guns to drug cartels, leading to the murder of one of our Border Patrol agents. Number two, nullifying a case against a Black Panther thug who was convicted of blocking access to polling stations with threats. Three, multiple state dinner security breaches. What was that about, by the way? They diverted our attention over here to this couple that was silly, but who else were they getting into these state dinners that we weren't supposed to notice? Four, the president being MIA during the Benghazi attack from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. the next day. Number five, Benghazi cover-up, lying to the American public, resulting in the false imprisonment of an American citizen. Six, using drones to murder American citizens on foreign soil without a trial. Seven, releasing five dangerous terrorist enemies of America under the guise of gaining the release of an American soldier who, it turns out, is a traitor who abandoned his post during war and went over to the other side. And then eight, sitting back while Al-Qaeda enemies of America take Iraq after we invested so much blood and treasure to secure their right to have the opportunity to display the purple finger of freedom, Selah. Think about it. Their right to a ballot box revolution being taken away while Obama pretends to care. What can we do? My dear friends, don't underestimate the power of prayer. Look, you got to put feet to your prayers. I know that, but you better put some prayer to your feet. Don't presume the prayers of Baalites will avail anything. I mean, it's the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails, according to James 5:16. The Baalites can cry and cry for holy fire. All they'll get is the few sparks they're able to generate in their own strength. The evil liars will laugh them off. The real show of divine power to sweep out the lies and the liars from Washington will come only when we can find an Elijah to stand up for the remnant, who will make a clear distinction between the profane and the holy. And such devils as hold the White House and the Capitol today can only be overcome by prayer and fasting, according to what Jesus taught us. What can you do? Well, you can pray and you can fast. Get my two books, Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting, and my newest book, The Newcart Church, and you'll see clearly where the problem really is and why the only power on earth that can charge the gates of hell, that are holding Washington in the power of Satan, the father of lies, why he remains secure in his stronghold. Go to www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org. And click on the bookstore icon on the left below the banner. You'll see the books I'm mentioning to you available there. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And say lights on if you see that they are on. If you agree with what I'm saying is the idea. And you'll tell others about the show and you'll spread the word. Or you can say lights off if you disagree with me. Look, I've thrown down a pretty good chunk of my own mind for you to chew on. Don't choke on it. So you go ahead and give me a piece of your mind. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000 and leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. It is a free call to anyone within the continental United States, from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website at www.thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. For my listeners around the world, we've got listeners in almost every part of the world. And thank God for you. I'm glad you're there. And I'd love to hear from you as well. You can write me even in your own language. I have people who can translate whatever you write to me, and it's all fine and good. Listen, give me a call or send me a letter, but let me hear from you. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
King David wanted to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. God's prophet encouraged him and told him it was God's will. For this very special project, David commissioned the building of a brand new cart to carry the precious Ark of God. As they rolled down the road, they hit a bump. To keep the Ark from falling off the cart, the driver reached out and touched it. This brought death to the driver. David became afraid of the Lord. He sent the Ark away and he went home troubled. Later, David understood from the scripture that the only proper way to transport the Ark was for the priests to carry it. He decided to try it again, and this time he did it according to God's instructions. And everything worked out beautifully. David was a good man with good motives, but his plan was flawed. Many good men with good motives are attempting to do a good work, but they're doing it the wrong way, and it has brought spiritual death to our churches. Are you in a new cart church? Come to an old path church this Sunday. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.
Think everyone in America needs a brain massage? We agree. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Don't do the internet? No problem. Mail it to P.O. Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.